F1A. Number 19A.
Well, we have another hour, and before I start with another big subject tomorrow, we just can take another minor prophet and again perhaps exercise in text interpretation. We take the prophet Haggai, and it's a short text, and I tried to read it with you rather quickly compared with the beginning. In the second year of Darius, so we are here at the time of Darius. Darius was a Persian king, so it was after the Babylonian exile. After the Babylonian exile, Babylon was being captured by the Persians, and Darius was that Persian king that decided to let the children of Israel go back to their homeland and to rebuild the temple. So Haggai was prophesying at the time when the first contingent of children of Judah actually came back from the Babylonian captivity. So in the second year of Darius the king, in the sixth month, in the first day of the month, came the word of the Lord by Haggai, the prophet, unto Zerubbabel, whatever it is, and so on, so on, and so on. Verse 2, we start very clever. Could you read those terms, those names? Thank God. Thank you very much. So the message starts with verse 2. Thus spaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, this people say the time is not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. That's mind already. You can see mind builds, mind creates. He's the builder. And the argument was, the time has not come to build a divine consciousness. That we will have to do later on. We come back from the Babylonian captivity. We first have to see that we get our houses built, that we get first our own situation right, and so on. And then we can think about the Lord God Almighty, but not before. So the argument was not to build the house of the Lord. Then we come to spirit. Then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses? And this house lie waste. You can see the comparison. The Lord's house lays waste, but their houses, they were sealed houses, they were luxurious houses, they were really nice houses, but the house of the Lord laid waste. And you can see the tone of spirit versus matter. That which is material, egotistic, was really worshipped and was built up. That which is of the nature of the spiritual was neglected. Now therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Ye have sown much and bring in little. It's a beautiful description of how they were building their own houses, their sealed houses. Everything was turned into selfish ambition and motives, and so they have sown much, but it has brought in little. So it really doesn't give the fruits of spirit that way. Ye eat, but ye have not enough. The same symbolism. Ye drink, but ye are not filled with drink. Again, the same symbolism. Ye clothe you, but there is none warm. Again, the same. And he that earneth wages to put it into a bag with holes. Wonderful. Can see four or five symbols that all say the same thing. If you build on matter, if you build on your material egotism, then you will not be filled. You will not find substance. That substance will just run away. It's like putting money into a bag that has holes. Thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Go up to the mountain and bring wood and build the house, and I will take pleasure in it, and I will be glorified, says the Lord. So they ask Israel to go up to the mountain and to build the house of the Lord. Ye looked for much, and lo, it came to little. Again, that same sense. If ye look for much, we gain little. And when ye brought it home, I did blow upon it. Why, says the Lord of hosts, because of mine house that is waste. And ye run every man unto his own house. Always the same story over and over again. You can see that the worship was not towards God, but they worshiped their own idols, their own sense of substance. Therefore the heaven over you is stayed from you, and the earth is stayed from her fruit. Again, fruitlessness. And I called for a drought upon the land, and upon the mountains, and upon the corn, and upon the new wine, and upon the oil, and upon that which the ground bringeth forth, and upon men, and upon cattle, and upon all the labor of the hands. That's the tone of spirit. We see here, first in mind, that the command was, build the house, but the people said the time has not come to build a house. Why is the time not come to build a house? Because the first wanted to build materially. So they built first materially their own sealed houses. They worked very hard at it, but there were no fruits in the land. It never yielded substance. Fruits of spirit cannot be brought forth materially. That's what he wanted to say. Then he goes to third subject, soul. Then Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Joshua, the son of Josedech. I tried to get around that in verse 1, and now it comes again. Well, so he was the high priest with all the remnant of the people, obeyed the voice of the Lord their God. And the words of Haggai the prophet, as the Lord their God had sent him, and the people did fear before the Lord. So they turned now and began to worship the Lord and obeyed the command. Then spake Haggai, the Lord's messenger, in the Lord's message unto the people, saying, I am with you, saith the Lord. Do you see the beautiful point here in Saul always? The moment you turn to the Lord is with you. Just as I have said before, if we turn first to mind in prayer and fill our consciousness with the ideas of mind, the tone of mind, what mind means, then mind is with us. Then it has a Christ, I am with you, says the Lord. And the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, the son of Josedech, the high priest, and the spirit of all the remnant of the people. And they came and did work in the house of the Lord of hosts, their God. In the 24th day of the 6th month, in the 2nd year of Darius the king. So this is tone of soul. Return to the Lord. Identify yourself now with God, then God identifies himself with you. That's the spiritual agreement, the identity of God and man. And now we come to that nice part of principle. In the 7th month, in the 21st day of the month, came the word of the Lord by the prophet Haggai, saying, speak now to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Jozadak, the high priest, and to the residue of the people, saying, what? Who is left among you that saw this house in her first glory? He said, is anybody here, you know, who had seen the temple before they went into captivity and could see the temple in the glory? And how do you see it now? Actually, it was destroyed. It is not in your eyes in comparison of it as nothing. Isn't it as nothing now? Because naturally the Babylonians destroyed the temple in Jerusalem and they captured Judah, and so it laid waste. So he said, can you remember how big and beautiful it was before the captivity? Can you see now that it is like nothing? Yet now be strong, O Zerubbabel, says the Lord, and be strong, O Joshua. Son of Jozadak, the high priest, and be strong, all ye people of the land, says the Lord, and work. Now go to work, for I am with you, says the Lord of hosts, according to the word that I covenanted with you when ye came out of Egypt. So my spirit remaineth among you, fear ye not. So he reminded them when they came out of Egypt and when they built the tabernacle. The tabernacle which was the forerunner, so to say, of the temple in Jerusalem. And he made that covenant. For thus says the Lord of hosts, yet once it is a little while, and I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land. And I will shake all nations, and the desire of all nations shall come. And I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine, and the gold is mine, says the Lord of hosts. The glory of this latter house shall be greater than of the former, says the Lord of hosts. And in this place will I give peace, says the Lord of hosts. That's the tone of principle. You can see the main point in it is that he says, I am going to keep my covenant which I made with Israel way back in the wilderness. I made that covenant, and I will keep that covenant. I will be a faithful God to you. And therefore, I will do all those things that I have promised at that time. And so, I will that Israel is going to build up the temple again, and the glory of this latter house shall be greater than the former ones. And so, they built the temple. That comes right afterwards. The fact is, the historical fact is, that the temple that they built was by no means as beautiful and as rich in everything as the former one. So materially, from a material standpoint, it was not true what the prophet prophesied. But that is not really the point. The Bible commentary always bring out this and that that was not going to happen. But we know when we go on reading that they were interested in something much different than in building just a temple full of gold and silver and beautiful arts and so on, that they wanted to build a temple of understanding, a spiritual temple, and that that spiritual temple never looks as good as a material temple. It always seems to be insignificant and unnoticed. But when we see afterwards how he asked to build a temple, perhaps we see the beauty of it, because it's the way that we build our temple. Namely, in the 24th day of the 9th month, in the 2nd year of Darius, came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, "Thus says the Lord of hosts, ask now the priest concerning the law, saying, if one bear holy flesh in the skirt of his garment, and with his skirt do touch bread or pottage or wine or oil or any meat, shall it be holy?" And the priest answered and said, "No." Then said Haggai, Haggai, "If one that is unclean by a dead body touch any of these, shall it be unclean?" And the priest answered and said, "It shall be unclean." Then answered Haggai and said, "So it is this people, and so it is this nation before me, says the Lord. And so is every work of their hands, and that which they offer there is unclean. And now I pray you, consider from this day and upward." Now comes the point. From before a stone was laid upon a stone in the temple of the Lord. In those days where, when one came to an heap of 20 measures, there were but 10. When one came to a heap, to the press vat, for to draw out of 50 vessels out of the press, there were but 20. I smote you with blasting and with mildew and with hail in all the labors of your hands, yet ye turned not to me, says the Lord. Consider now from this day and upward, from the 24th day of the 9th month, even from the day that the foundation of the Lord's temple was laid, consider it. Is the seed yet in the barn? Yea, as yet the wine, and the fig tree, and the pomegranate, and the olive tree, has not brought forth. From this day will I bless you. I don't know if it's clear what he's saying. What he was saying is really turning around the verse 15. "And now I pray you, consider from this day and upward, from before a stone was laid up on a stone in the temple of the Lord, before they began to build the temple of the Lord, before they took stone upon stone and began to build the temple of the Lord. Everything seems to have been lacking. Nothing did render really any fruits, any any fruit. The fig tree didn't, the pomegranate tree didn't, the olive tree didn't. Nothing brought forth, really. You had a constant sense of lack of substance, a great sense of lack, that everything was not the pure, and there was always something lacking. But he said, but from now on, if you lay stone upon stone in the temple of the Lord, before they were laying stone upon stone in their own sealed houses, and they worked much, but they gained little. Always the same thing. So here too, he said that even then, now, from now on this day, I will bless you. He said, if you lay stone upon stone in the temple, that will give you abundance. That will give you blessings. Then you will not lose anything. But up to that point where you are not really considering really how to build a temple in an ordered way, then all your endeavors are like nothing. They don't bear any fruit. It is interesting that he says that they should lay a stone upon stone. See, that is what we see also in building our consciousness. That if we take Christian Science and consider the ideas that are in the textbook and in the Bible, and if we don't really see them in their order, in an ordered build-up, where the first day of creation leads to the second day of creation, and the second to the third, and then to the fourth and fifth and sixth and seventh, we have no method of understanding. And therefore, it will be in vain. And I think we all know that, anyway, those who have been for a long time in Christian Science, for many decades in Science, they were studying, they were trying to get an understanding, and they were trying hard and sincere, and somehow everyone had a feeling, I don't get ahead, I don't feel that I make progress, I don't really succeed, and this is because we did not lay stone upon stone in an ordered way. It's actually only then when John Dolly came and said, look here, all these ideas of being, these infinite ideas of being, they are not a heap of stones. They're not just a heap of stones, a hill of stones that have no structure, that have no order, that do not show a form. It's just an amorphous mass of bewildering ideas where you don't know how one idea is related to another idea. And he began to put order into that hill of ideas, into this hill of stones, and took those stones out of that heap of stones and said, look here, we take first the first stone, the first day of creation, and consider it. And then we are considering which stone should be next. What is the next logical step in spiritual reasoning? And you come to the second day. Then you ask yourself, can I take any stone out of that hill of stones and put it there? No, you can't. You have to take a very specific one that fits into the order of being. And so you have to take the third day. And so he began to show us the foundation of a whole science, of a whole temple. See, the moment he began to see the order of the days of creation, he was off. He was off in the discovery of the whole science, the whole system in science. And that he could do with the same textbook as other people had. But the textbook as such, as it is read, and especially as it is read in the lesson sermons, never makes sense. The textbook doesn't make sense that way. Only the subject under consideration may perhaps make a little sense, but we will never understand the temple, the textbook. And only when the Lord said to John Dolly, look here, there is order in being, and these ideas have order, and we can understand those order. Then, with the first order of the word order, we triggered off, or he triggered off, a whole system that led then from the days of creation to the numerals of infinity, seeing that ideas are ordered and constitute the calculus of ideas that is eternal, that is free from time and space. Then he could build on those ideas the word order, the synonym, the word order of the synonyms, then the Christ order, then the Christianity order, then the science order. And more order came into this temple. Suddenly that temple began to have foundation. Suddenly one could see that there are walls there, which a stronghold there. And from there he could go on and could see, well, if we have the four orders in Christian science, we can lift up consciousness to the level of absolute Christian science. And so we get a new category and a new level in the temple, a new altitude in the temple, and from there higher up to divine science and to science itself. And the temple was getting bigger and bigger and bigger and higher and higher. And so one can see the moment one starts in any subject scientifically in an ordered way, one is off. At the moment, say, in chemistry, one began to see the periodic table at that time, chemistry got such an impulse that from there on, really one could talk about the science in chemistry, and not just experimentation. The science was built on an order, on a fundamental order of the periodic table. And so it is in any other science. And so it must be building our consciousness, that we just don't take any stone and put it anywhere, so that in our consciousness we just have a hill of unrelated ideas that make no sense, and that we have experienced long enough. And so Haggai is really a prophet that tells us how to get understanding. How to get understanding.